Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, where we're going to chop it up a little bit and just become a little wiser. I think we need to conversate. We need to talk about certain things just a little bit more. And due to popular demand and request for more talk radio, we decided, you know what, we have three shows on Thursdays, right? And so we decided, you know, with one of the shows, we can go ahead on and talk a little bit and give our listeners what they want, and at the same time, still providing the services of the music that we were doing before. And so that's what we're doing today. We have our brother Phoenix in the house. What's happening, Phoenix?
Hey, how's it going? Everything is good on Thursday.
Here we go, a Thursday with Phoenix in the house, guys. That's exciting. It's so exciting. And, you know, I'd like to apologize for my microphone. For some reason, it decided it didn't want to work today. So we have another microphone that we're using. But anyway, Phoenix said he could hear me fine, so that makes me feel that everybody else can hear me fine, too. I'll find out from the associate producer shortly here. But I just want to also say thank you guys for tuning in today. And we're going to jump right into our topic of conversation. We're going to let Phoenix start this thing off for us and just kind of let us know where we're going at. So what's happening, Phoenix?
You know, I was thinking, you know, there's always a little child in all of us. We're all little kids. We've all started from humble beginnings, from our parentage, playing ball in the schoolyard, and at school, elementary to college, depending upon our vantage points. And so, theoretically, we all want to be loved. We all want to be approved. And so today's talk, I think, is thought-provoking. Like you said, it's good to have a realistic conversation about it because it's something that we all want desperately. And it says, do I need the approval of others? And the definitive is, do I need it? Do I need it to actually function? And why? So we're going to be talking about this whole idea of approval, which is basically validation. And depending upon your age, where you're at in the stream of time, some of us old folks, we outgrow validation. You know, after a while, we just get to the point where we have no boundaries. But I can understand, you know, as a younger person, having the need or wanting to be within a social setting to have approval. So let's talk about it and let's look at the ins and outs of it and why. And I think we could gain a lot of valuable knowledge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, go ahead on and let's talk about it. You know, I'm excited to talk about it because it's a subject I think that if there's a thin line, like, you know, that we cross, and when we get to a certain age, like you're saying, children, you can understand as a child that you know, you need to get the approval of your parents and everything, and, you know, maybe some of your friends, you know, because you're still trying to navigate through life as you're growing, and you want to make sure or get this confirmation that your decision is a good one or not, you know, from your friends or from your family. And so, and then at some point, we start to slowly navigate away from our family to our friends, where they just all of a sudden seem to be the ones that are wiser than our parents all of a sudden. It's like, how is that even possible, right?
Kids, you know,
but we don't know because we're validating their approval on top of it. We're like,
and what's,
you know,
so funny
I'm
about
coming
that?
To...
What's so funny about that, Wardell, is that I remember in the raising and the rearing of my children, particularly my oldest daughter. She has to be, 36 now. But I remember her coming home one day, and she had this insidious laugh. It was like, hey, I was like, where did you get that laugh from? You know, it was almost like when the Creator spoke to Adam and said, you know, where did you get that from that you were naked? Like, where did you learn this from? You know, and it triggered a thought when you mentioned there becomes to a critical point where you segue from being a child to you segue to being amongst your peer settings and allowing them to mold you because you so want to be approved by them. And I remember saying to my daughter, I said, you don't laugh like that. Where did you get that from? And it wasn't even 24 hours. Her girlfriend came in and had the same laugh. It was like a hyena. And I said, oh, you got that from her. I said, here it is, I've raised you for this long process and period of time, long suffering with you, and this girl, you met a half a second, and already you're sounding like her? I said, be careful, because you're going to lose yourself in the process. And so that's the first, I think, line of defense is where you start to laugh like your friends, you start to, you know, use the same express. Like I have a friend that every other word is, and whatnot. They'll say such and such and so forth and whatnot, or you know what
right.
I mean?
I
you know what I mean?
Right.
And after a while, I had to say, no, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean and whatnot?
And
then,
and that's
tones.
Not even like, what does that phrase mean? And what
does it mean?
Not. Yeah, it makes no sense, but it became a thing. I remember. And what
it becomes
and
a thing
just,
if you're not careful.
Right. Yeah, we have to be careful because we...
If you're not careful,
are,
and those to me, those are the touch tones that you're losing grip. You're drifting. You know, I was raised in a family of nothing but doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs, so everybody was a grammatical teacher. And when you said something stupid, oh, my God, you got it from your grandmother all the way down to your siblings. They slapped you in the head. They corrected you. And I'm so happy. You know, my mother used to use this expression, learn. She said, boy, learn to use the king's English and whatnot. You know, she was, I used the word funky one day because James Brown was popular. Hey, Mom, that's funky. She said, boy, don't say that word. I don't like it.
You're like, oh,
I had
okay.
Good parents, man. I have to give them the highest degree of admiration. They helped me transition past looking to seeking the approval of others. And I might say at this juncture, because my dad used to say it all the time, friends, if you're blessed to still have your parents that are living, believe and trust and honor them, because my father used to say this expression, I have the greatest vested interest in you more than your friends and associates. I'm your father. And even though we may agree to disagree, we don't want to become like our parents, guess what? And Wardell, you tell me if I'm wrong. Eventually, we turn into our parents, so be careful.
Yeah, we do. We turn right into them. And
we turn in.
But, you know, it happens as we get older, and it's funny at that point. But in the process, we are denying our parents. We're denying their wisdom. We're denying all the things that we later kind of regret. Like, man, they were trying to tell me, but I wasn't listening.
What's interesting about that, if you deny, then you open yourself up to rebel. You know, my dad, when it came to money, he was an incredible investor. And as a young teenager, musician, I rebelled against my dad, and I made some huge financial mistakes because I was so busy trying to be the rebel. Don't be the rebel with your parents. If they're saying something to you, and you know they're saying what's right, don't rebel, because when you do that, you open yourself up to now start to seek the approval of others. So that's a line of defense as well, worth mentioning.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Man, oh, man, let me just share, you know, a little story that may help us to understand how we can be led by just because someone else did it, we thought, or
let
it stray. Another way of recognizing that we're not using our own brain to make a decision, that we're allowing others to come from the outside and make a decision for us. And we just follow along. We just follow along. And so, you know, as a matter of fact, we even had comedians on the King of Comedy talking about, people just get up and start running, all of a sudden another person just start running. They don't even know why. They're just running and running. And then we don't care right now. We want to find out later. Well, that's black people kind of like, well, no, we're just running because he was running, so I'm running too. Whereas a white person would go, well, what's going on? And they want to know why, what's going on. See, because that's to me, I'm not trying to say one is white or Asian or Chinese or whatever it may be. What happens is that you allow others to dictate to you that we need to go this way. And common sense kind of say, hey, if everybody's running, something must be wrong, so let's go.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is let me tell you this story where there's no common sense in this story. So this lady, right, she was – making a dinner, and so she was cutting the ends of her ham off. And this was Thanksgiving. This will help you guys out since we're coming up on Thanksgiving, at least for the people of the United States. And I don't mean to cut anybody out because, you know, some people overseas celebrate Thanksgiving as well. And then you have your own Thanksgiving for whatever you're being thankful for. And sometimes it's just being grateful to the to the King above for just blessing us and giving you a life. So it don't have to be for what we celebrate it for over here. And even some of the people here don't celebrate it for what the United States celebrated for. They celebrate it because God has blessed all of us to be here. And so, but anyway, so the story goes, this lady was, she's in the kitchen making a Thanksgiving dinner, and she's cutting, when she's cut off the ends of her ham, her girlfriend goes, "Hey, Michelle, I noticed that every time you make ham, you cut off the ends of your ham. Why are you cutting off the ends of your ham?" And she goes, "Well, I don't know. My mom used to do it, so, you know, that's where I got it from. I learned to cook from her." And so she thought later to call her mom and say, "Hey, mom, my friend was asking me when I was cooking and making ham, she was asking me, why did I, you know, cut the ends of my ham off? And I did it because you were doing it. That's what you taught me." And she goes, "Well, baby, I don't know. I got that from my mom. And my mom used to cut the ends of the ham off. So I started cutting the ends of the ham off." And so then asked her mom, "Mom, my daughter came to me saying that, you know, she's cutting off the ends of the ham because I'm cutting off the ends of the ham. And I cut off the ends of the ham because you cut off the ends of the ham. So can you tell me why we cut off the ends of the ham so I can go back and tell her why we're cutting off the ends of the ham?" And she says, oh, baby, the reason why I did it is because I never had a pot big enough for it to fit in." So all this time, everyone is just wasting ham because, you know, they didn't even know why. For, you know, it was just because grandma didn't have a big enough pot. So you can't just do things just because somebody's doing it. You know, you got to do it because there's a reason, and you got to find out what the reason is and then make the decision.
That's so funny. But
that's a story of how we allow others to control us, and we don't use our own brain. Like, we don't trust our own instincts and our own self. We have to start believing that God has given us the gift. That we can make decisions for ourselves. We have to, like, you know, no one's going to be with us when we lose our life. No one was with us when we were born. I mean, we were born.
We came into this world alone, and we'll leave alone.
Exactly. So you got to do some things alone, and not really depend on other people all the time. So what I want to get to is, so why do you think people do this? Why do you think we need to get approval as a grown-up? Now, we understood, and we kind of went through that as a young person, and then we just talked about, you know, sometimes people just follow each other, and they don't use their brain. They just follow each other and end up doing something that doesn't even make sense. But when you get, you know, to a place, another scenario is like, just, hey, I'm gonna do the curtains in my house. I want to change the curtains, and I think I'm gonna go ahead and get some blue curtains. And maybe your mate is going, "Yeah, sweetheart, I think that's a good idea." And then all of a sudden, you hear her asking her brother, "So what do you think about this?" And then her sister-in-law, "What do you think about it?" It's like, wait a minute, why do you need everybody's approval? Why can't you just be, first of all, I thought it was great. You and I, we live here together, so it's okay for you to ask me. But, you know, why are you asking 9 other people what they feel?
Well, I think it's fair to say that we're living in an overstimulated world. You know, there's been talks about that even with babies, you know, when babies were born and, you know, parents would come, "Ooh, coochie, coochie, coo," and they would put the little mobile over the baby's crib, and the baby would be stimulated by what they saw. But now kids are overstimulated by the cartoons. They're overstimulated by the internet. You know, most kids, my grandkids, man, they grab the phone. When I went to New York, I leased a new Infiniti, and the little kid jumped in the car and immediately started changing the presets on the radio. I was astounded. I said, "How does she know how to do that?" And my daughter said, "Well, she just knows how to do it, you know." So this overstimulation, this ability to be able to conform
right.
to what's happening today. What's the latest iPhone? I got to get the iPhone 13. Or I'm at a dinner and let me take a picture and Snapchat or to Instagram or to these other social media platforms. We become overstimulated. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's so deep that it becomes a medical thing. I mean, there are people now that are going to chiropractors that have, neck displacement because they're in the same position in their phone. So this shows you the level that we have accelerated to. So as we dial back a little bit and we look at the subject of today, am I overstimulated? You know, do they really matter what they think? You know, who is my significant other? Can I live in the moment with them? Can I enjoy this meal with them instead of maybe not always sharing it on all my social platforms? Everybody editorializes today. Everybody has an opinion.
Right.
You know, it's like a dog wagging its tail. But at some point, do I become independent of those that I've formulated a dependency? And I think finding the happy medium is really the solution, finding the balance. It's okay to want to be loved. It's okay to want the opinion of others. But we don't want to drift off at sea where we forget where to dock our own spiritual boat again, to come
Absolutely.
Back to shore. We need Absolutely. To come back and find the happy medium, or else we could get lost in the sauce, so to speak. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And so, I have a couple questions for you from the listeners. Do we learn to seek approval because from a young age we try to please our parents and get rewarded when we do what they want?
Absolutely. I mean, and you know what? Some psychologists have even directed it to the pacifier. You know, some parents believe in pacification, some don't, but they have linked pacifiers to a reward, a cry, put something in your mouth, a cry, put a bottle in your mouth, a
yeah.
cry, eat something. And then that goes to drinking, that goes to smoking. It's called oral pacification. And so there becomes a connection to this need or willingness to be a crowd pleaser or to please those within our social circles. And that's something that we can look at and hopefully dial back to a comfortable setting.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, thank you for that. And another question from our listeners, are we now relying on social media to approve us by posting and expecting likes?
I love it. That is, that's so generic, like Clorox. You know, people say, well, you need something to clean, make your sheets white. They say, well, have you thought about using Clorox? Or you need a Dutch cleanser. Do you have some Ajax? And so it's so generic that we forget that's a brand. And the audience that just made that statement made me think of that. It's so obvious, but do we see it? I know I was sitting down having dinner with my wife, and we were about to chomp into this wonderful steak that I seared on both ends, and I had the thyme, and I had the rosemary. And I had the wine. Oh, it was all set up, ready to go. She said, no, don't eat yet. I said, what are you talking about? I said the prayer. Mm-hmm. No, I got to take a picture. She sent it to a girlfriend. There were a good 15, 20 minutes back and forwards with how she makes cake and what she does differently. And, oh, da, 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 we got to have you over. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just going to eat my meal. Let your guys do what you're doing. Because I was starving.
right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Can we live in the moment?
Can we?
Please.
Absolutely. All right. Question number three from our listeners. If I seek approval, am I focusing too much on the external rather than the internal?
Wow.
Wow. I mean, that's a thought-provoking question, yes. I mean, because there's the superficial or the external, and the internal, we might say, is who we are from a substantive standpoint. Like, who are we, really? Mm-hmm. You know, in the end of the day, when the lights turn off and we're there by ourselves, who are we? You know, we might be seeking the approval of somebody that, unfortunately, not throwing shade on anybody, but really doesn't matter. They're not our significant other. They're not our boss. They're not our parent. Guess what? They're not even really a good friend. I've had to say that to my wife one day. She had a girlfriend that was almost half her age. And yes. She was getting all bent out of shape with the situation. I said, honey, this girl is not even, she's not even in your group dynamic. I don't even think you guys even like each other. She said, you know, you're right. I said, she's really not a good friend. She's, you know, in some ways, she's kind of competitive with you because you're this older, well-kept woman, and she's still this young chick that wants the club, and she's seeking your approval, but yet you're worrying about what she thinks. It's kind of an oxymoron.
Yes.
Doesn't work. And she had to agree. So pick and choose. You know, the expression goes, pick and choose your friends wisely.
There you go.
Bad association spoils useful habits. These are words from wisdom from above. Bad association spoils useful habits. They can really erode the very foundation of who you are. Pay attention, as we said in previous discussions, pay attention to who you are and the causative effects that you have on others, whether it's positive or negative. Sometimes oil and vinegar just doesn't work. If you shake it up in seven seas salad, it's good temporarily, but it doesn't work.
Yes, and I'm one of those that put oil and vinegar on my salad.
Oh no, I touched a nerve.
No, it's all good though. You know,
I'm a balsamic guy myself.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I love balsamic.
Italy. Oh my goodness. Woo, yeah, that it hits.
And
the
I'm
spot.
Not a typical American with salads. I want to run mine through the garden with arugula, with cilantro, with radish.
Look at
man,
you.
Man, I want everything that's in the garden. Carrots,
there you go.
Walnuts, apples, raisins, pecans.
Gotta
you
watch
can
out.
Live off my salad, bro. Oh,
you gotta watch out for those snakes in the garden.
Oh my goodness.
As Eve.
That's another talk radio segment.
There you go. And maybe on a Sunday. All right, so another question from the listeners. Man, they are doing it up today. Is it tribal? Is it a tribal thing to seek attention and acceptance in order to belong?
Wow. Now you're barking up my tree. You know, I'm Shinnecock Native from New York. I'm Shinnecock Native American. So we're an abstraction of the Comanche and the Piqua. And, you know, before there was talk radio, before there were iPhones and internet, it was the chief. And the chief would tell the stories and pass it on to his tribe. So what a very astute thing to say. Yes. There is a connection to the tribal resource, but there comes a point when the young Indian has to leave the tribe and go off and become a hunter. And as they became nomadic and they went to different lands like Spain and Italy and such and Egypt, they became nomadic and they traveled and they had to take what they learned and become independent of the tribe. So from humble beginnings, whether it's a tribe or a child or a baby looking up in a mobile, we have to learn to cut the umbilical cord, so to speak. We have to get to the point where we make a demarcation in the sand. Who am I? What are my belief systems? What do I believe in? And make an educated decision. One of the things that this generation has more than we had, Wardell, You know, we used to look at the Britannica, Encyclopedia Britannica, World Book Encyclopedia, have to go to the library. Oh, my God, it's closed. We're walking around with $8,000 walking encyclopedias. We have no excuse for not finding the information and making an intelligent decision at all. Keep that in mind.
Yep, that's true. Absolutely. All right. Number five from the listeners. There is a saying, be true to yourself, and original is worth more than a copy. Wow. I like it. Yeah, just be original.
To thine own self be true is one of my favorite expressions, to thine own self be true.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the end of the day, if you trade off, I said it the other day, I was in conversation with somebody and a similar situation came up. And I said, you know, I have to be myself because
Absolutely.
Everybody else is already taken. And they cracked up. They said, oh, you're so funny. You know, oh, you have a
good
sense of humor. But I said, but there's truth in that. I have to be myself because everybody else is already taken. Why not be you? And be the best version of you. Borrow a little bit from grandma. Borrow a little bit from your buddy. Borrow from dear old dad or grandpa. But in the end of the day, when you come to the fork in the road, should I go right or should I go left? Make a decision. And here's something for the fellas. You know, I've come across this even in the dating process. Do you know that women, when they've done surveys, women like men that can make a decision? You know, when they say, well, what do you want to go out and eat? I don't know. What do you want, honey? I don't know. What do you want? Oh, you want? You know what? I like Italian. Can we go for a good deep dish Chicago pizza? Man, that sounds good. Where can we get that? Make a decision. You know, people can accept or reject, but if we're in a position to think on our own two feet and make a decision, that carries through the basic tenets of our life, don't you think?
I think it's important, and for the fellas, women like that. They like it that you can make a decision, and you don't just keep saying, "Well, whatever you want to do." The reason
whatever
why
you want, honey, whatever. Yeah. Hey, I'll go one. Hey, Wardell, I'll go one better than that. Do you know that the Creator in the annals of the Scripture, He says, "I hate an indecisive man." This is what the grand instructor says. So this is far-reaching. Make a decision. Be flexible. I'm not saying to be inflexible. You say, you know what, I want Italian, and you know, your girlfriend says, you know, I want Chinese. Well, can we meet in the middle? I know a great restaurant that sells Chinese food, but they also sell American foods. They sell salmon. Hey, you know, then we can pick from once we get there. Great idea. Let's do that.
There you go. There you go. Man, oh man, so good to have this conversation with you, and I'm just really blessed, man. I appreciate, you know, sometimes we don't even recognize some of the things that we are going through until someone starts talking about it, and you go, oh, hey, that. To talk about me.
And you know, Wardell, to make a shameless plug for music, education in the music system, which is something we're losing. You know, a lot of the educational systems are cutting music programs. And what they fail to understand is one of the byproducts of learning an instrument is making a decision, is following a protocol and making a decision, particularly when you get into the construction of chords. Am I going to go major? Am I going to go minor? Am I going to go augmented? I have to make a decision. Is it a sad song? It's going to be melancholy. Am I going to engineer it? How thick the bass? Do I want to go to the 80s analog basses? Do I want to use an acoustical bass? They're all making decisions. And so please, parents, you know, if you have the ability financially and you're within an organization, get your child to play an instrument. It's such an arming thing in terms of some of the things we're talking about today, making decisions. And
yeah.
If you can, I'm not saying you always can, but if you can go, if you have a choice between an analog visceral instrument or a synthetic instrument, and I know Wardell and I, we've talked about this at length, go acoustical. you know, if I had a chance, I told my daughter, if I had a chance to get my granddaughter an instrument, I'm going to get her a pink Stradivarius. Because that violin is such a sexy instrument. It's such a visceral instrument. It's connected to her body. She can feel the vibrations. She said, well, Dad, I can go to Kmart or Walmart and I can get a synthesizer. I said, oh, no. Get her the real thing. Let her feel that vibration in her body. But I'm bringing that up because that's a whole other area of discussion. But I bring that up because music is a natural source of decision-making, a decision-making process. And it really strengthens a child to learn to discipline themselves at an early age to learn an instrument. Beautiful. Doesn't get better than that.
Amen.
What do you think, Wardell?
Yes, absolutely. You're right on point.
Absolutely.
Man.
I know that stuff. Your wheelhouse right there.
Well, you know what? I
want
to ask you another question, changing the subject now. And the reason is that I think that, you know, people, I'm hoping that you guys in this first half an hour kind of get, you know, what Phoenix and I are trying to share, that in regards to making a decision and not having to depend on others for, you know, to help you to make a decision. You have to be able to stand on your own and make a decision. It's important. It's important to your character, and it's important to your friends and your loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
They need
mm-hmm.
you to woman up or man up. Right, you know.
Man
there's
up.
A there's
man
a lot
up
of
or girl up. You got to say girl up.
That's right, because there's a lot of women in abusive relationships that won't leave the abusive relationship because they just can't make a decision. And,
well,
and
they develop a dependency, unfortunately.
Right, exactly. And then that abnormal becomes their normal, right?
Yeah.
And so their new normal, and it's very frustrating. So, you know, that was a great talk, though, man. I appreciate that. I enjoyed, you know, going through this because, like I said, it's really important. It's really important that we pay attention to
how
we
navigate. And I think now
more
so than ever, I'm always talking post-COVID. You know, we're at a stage right now that people don't need no more nonsense. We don't need no more disappointments. We don't need no more distractions. You know, let's clear the air. Let's get focused. You know, let's rebuild ourselves. Let's rebuild our team, our loved ones, our children, our pets. Make a decision that is going to be profitable, not only for yourself, but for others. Even within
right.
your setting, you're at a church, you know, you may have a parishioner that might come to you that is indecisive. Help them to, not to tell them, oh, well, you need to do this. No, you listen to them and you offer them a few suggestions. What do you think? Help them to wean off of you making the decision. And help them to make the decision on their own.
Amen. Amen. It is. And listen, we have there's three different types of people that you're going to run into. You got the Conrads. You have your constituents, people that you work with or work around, and then you have your confidants, right? And what your confidants are the ones that love you. They just love you unconditionally. They love you for who you are. And not because of what you do. You know, they love you just because of who you are. And so those are the people that you would go to and respectfully and say, hey, listen, Mom, or listen, Dad, this is a situation I'm thinking about doing, and I just wanted to run it by someone. That's what a confidant is for. It's somebody that's
and it
got
doesn't
your
mean
back.
And it doesn't mean that you're going to follow their prescription. You know,
right,
I had a buddy
exactly.
recently. You know, I went through a situation, as you're aware of, without getting into my gory details, and he offered me some advice. And he's a very worldly guy. He considers himself a Christian as well, but his thought process is way askew. If I'm at the North Pole, man, he's in the Carolinas. And I told him, I said, you know, I just don't monkey around with the truth. You know, if it's something, if you step on my toe, I say, ouch. If you step on it again, I say, you know, that's my corn there you're stepping on. You know, I'm very connected to my feelings. And, you know, some people tell me as a man, some want to say, I'm emotional. I said, no, I'm just emotionally in touch. I'm what they call, I'm emotionally available. And I'm very proud of that because I had excellent male role models in my family. My dad was very strong. He was a genius. But my mother, oh my God, she was like a psychologist. She was a teacher. She was the best friend all wrapped in one. She never cursed. She never raised her voice. Extremely encouraging. I had the best of both worlds. Yes. And I think that has molded me into being the man I am today. Both of them on their deathbed, that they never worried I was their most honorable child. And I take that to my grave. So, yes, I would always encourage you, even if you agree to disagree with your parents, and some of us, we go through war. I know I did that with my dad. We went to war for several years. But at some point, you come to the conclusion, this is my parent, and they have the greatest vested interest in me. And maybe they wanted me to be a doctor, and I turned out to be an old musician. My dad told me, he said, you're never going to make no money as a musician. They become famous after they're dead.
Oh, wow.
I made a few dollars. I did go platinum.
I honored him. Yeah, right.
Honor your parents.
Right. And so, you know, my dad, right, was a preacher. He was a businessman. He had his own church. He had three gas stations, Sunoco stations. You heard of them?
Wow, sure.
Yeah.
Good
so,
guess.
Yeah, so we had three pot Sunoco stations, and we had a hardware store and an auto store. And so, but I was his only son. And so my dad really wanted me. He really wanted me to take over his businesses. As a young man, I had the passion of music in me. My dad also was a singer and a guitar player, so he had the passion of music in him as well. But he started a family, and he had to take care of his family, so he had to focus on, you know, to taking care of business, and so he did, and he did well, and he did well. He did a great job, and so. But my passion was so strong, you know, that I went to college. I was in Philadelphia Music School while I was in high school. I was going to music schools. I can't remember the name of that music school downtown in Philadelphia. But I went there you know, for a couple of years. And then after, you know, so I'm doing that and going to regular school and then coming home practicing all the time and couldn't wait to leave my dad's store because I had to work too and help my dad out. And then he could see that I was anxious and I wanted to go. And so, see, this is something that was all built up inside of me. This is my passion. This is, I can't, you, it's hard to deny who you are, right?
That's
denying
right,
who you are, it should be a violation.
A
you
leopard
not,
don't change the spots. It's in
exactly. You. So I could not get away from that. And so, I was following it, and my dad supported me, which was a blessing. He was supporting me, even though at the same time, he wanted me to take over his businesses. So maybe my dad thought, well, you know, let him try and go fly, and if it don't work out, then he'll come back and he'll come and do, well, you know, take over these, you know, this my businesses. And so, but it didn't happen that way. I went and I made the auditions, and I never moved back to Philadelphia. And my dad ended up selling his businesses, you know, because my sisters, it was just too much for them. And so he, at least that's what my dad thought. He was, you know, from the old school. And so he sold the businesses, and he got sick, and he gave my mom the money, and he passed away. I'm sorry that my dad got sick and passed away at such a young age at 55. 56. But listen, I just want to say that I made a decision. See, that's something that people will respect at the end of the day. You, Phoenix, made a decision that you're going to follow your passion, regardless to how your dad felt about it. And I did what I had to do because it was in me. And I, so I made that decision. And we're still doing that. In our 60s, we're still doing, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tell our ages, but we're still doing that, right? We're still doing our thing. And, you know, and you guys got to know that it's Throwback Thursday, so we are kind of like old. So, but and this is a Throwback Thursday show, but we made a decision. And so, and sometimes we need each other. We you'll find a friend or a buddy or somebody that you can say, hey, man, this is what I'm thinking. There's nothing wrong with that. To get, but when you live like that, when that's your, you know, who you are, constantly needing other people's approval, needing to get likes on Facebook and needing this, and or you get depressed if things don't, if people don't approve of what you're doing, that's a no-no, and we have to wake up to that. We have to pay attention because we end up being there sometimes and not even recognizing that that's who we are. So we're just trying to bring attention to some of our friends that navigate that way. Please pay attention. We're not here to put you down. We're here to lift you up. We love you, and we want you to be
the best. And decisions, I might add this, you know, decisions wear on your face. Let me say that again. Decisions wear on your face. I've seen so many of my buddies that made wrong decisions. And when I run into them, they go, hey, Phoenix, hey, you know, I went to school with that guy. I'm like, no, don't say that. They look like my grandfather. Because the decisions that they made, they were in conflict. You know, we talked about that's who you are. And if you go against the grain, you know, if you swim against the grain, you exert a lot of force against yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you are in harmony with yourself, like some even say you're in harmony with the universe, like a tree planted in the soil, the decisions in which you make, they say the life you save may be your own. So the decisions in which you make are rooted in the stream of time, and they affect you physically. You know, if you frown a lot, you have frown lines. If you laugh a lot, you have laugh lines. My grandmother would say, she said, the first 7 years is the face that God gave you. But the rest is the face that you earned. Part of that process is the decision-making process. Who are you going to spend the rest of your life with? Are
mm-hmm.
you going to have children? Are
right.
you going to make good investments?
Yeah.
Are you going to listen to your parents and pick through the meat and the bones and use what is salvageable? Just don't rebel against them because you want to be a rebel. Listen. Think about it. Don't be rash. You know, meditate on these things. You know, they say if you eat a good steak, just don't woof it down. Chew on it. Digest it. Give yourself a chance, like I said, before you jump in the pool. Give yourself a chance for your food to digest.
And
it's the same thing with decisions.
And the very beginning of that, you need to enjoy the taste of it.
Enjoy the taste of it.
My dog.
Enjoy the process.
You know, have you
savor
ever
savor the taste.
Yes, exactly. My dogs, they don't even taste the food. If I give them something, they just, okay, got more. Like,
yeah, I have one like that too. I call her Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
While I'm taking her over to a food, she's trying to break her neck to jump into the bowl, and she looks like that dog, the Caesar. You ever see the dog on the commercial, the Caesar dog? She looks
no.
just like that.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
She's so funny. She goes nuts.
Wow,
she's so greedy.
Yes,
but yeah,
well,
great conversations. There's a lot
yes.
to think about. You know, we can't stress making decisions can mean the difference between, you know, heading to Canada or heading to Florida. I mean, it's life changing. The direction that you choose, the partners that you choose, the friends, those in which you allow to alter your perceptions. Show me your friends, I'll show you who you are. Birds of a feather flock together. These are all consistent with decision making.
There you go. Whoa.
Yeah.
Say, I love that. I love it, man. Yeah. All right.
But passions,
so,
man, you know, being involved in music, oh my God. I mean, I love it that I can sit down at the end of the day instead of pouring myself a drink. I can pour myself into my music and my creative process. And I look at some of my buddies that they're even younger than me. They go, man, how are you? Man, I'm listening to Drake. I'm listening to,
you know, Lisa Stansfield. I'm listening to Dionne Warwick. I'm listening to Smokey Robinson. I'm all over the place. If it's Fleetwood Mac, I was listening to some Fleetwood Mac the other day. Kenny Loggins and Messina. I mean, I have such an eclectic. Stanley Turrentine, the Brecker Brothers, the Doobie Brothers. Oh my, Long Train Running, War. I mean, these are the processes of your life. These are the tapestries of your soul, the things that you pay attention to and the decisions in which you make. So choose wisely.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Dude, well, I just want to say, hold on, wait. How's the weather over there in Vegas? Because it is burning up here in Texas. How's the weather?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is,
bro. It's almost paradisaic. I said to the wife this morning that I have a bike that was given to me by a fellow musician that I met at Guitar Center. He gave me this like $800 bike, man. It was such a blessing. And I've ridden it a handful of times, but it's been so beautiful, you know. Instead of jumping in the car, man, to augment my workout, I've been riding my bike because it's so beautiful. So beautiful, bro.
Wow.
So enjoy it. Life is for the living. You know,
absolutely.
I used to work at hospitals, and I used to see people that were really under the weather, and it really helped. It humbled me. I think everybody should take a trip and visit someone at the hospital, not for the empathy, but in order to just count your blessings, to be able to walk out and take your shoes off and put it in the grass and say, you know what? This is a blessing. Yeah, I wanted that new car, but guess what? My feet work. I can put it in the grass. It's free. Let me do that.
There you go.
Get on your knees if you need to and say a silent prayer or an audible prayer. Walk your dog, your cat, your bird. Enjoy life. Life is for the living.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much again for another great conversation with our brother Phoenix. Thank you, man. We do appreciate you, and look forward to hanging out with you next week, man, and have a blessed and beautiful weekend. And, you know, stop
and thank the audience, man. I so appreciate their comments. They're so thought-provoking. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, Wardell, you know, being involved with this radio show, how it's such a two-way street. You know, sometimes, many times, often, I should say, the audience will bring up something thought-provoking. And my takeaway is we're not alone. You know, to touch somebody on the other end of the world and they say something that scratches that itch, you go, oh, my God. It's so replenishing to your soul. So thank the audience so much for their participation. It makes me feel connected in a way that I never felt connected before. So I'm truly humbled to be a part of this process.
Awesome. Awesome. Our brother Phoenix. Let's give it up for Phoenix. Hey, man, much love to you and your wife, your beautiful wife. Tell her hello, please. And, I'll be talking to you a little later today.
Sure. All sounds right. Great, bro. Enjoy your day.
All right. So here we go with the second half of Throwback Thursday. And that was good talk from my brother Phoenix, man. God bless him. He's so cool. All right, guys. Dynasty in the house on Solar Records Radio.
Just like
good, man. I just takes me back to the basements in the city of Philadelphia as a young man back in the 70s and just wanting to be close. And even the, you know, these songs, that particular song is a very sad song, but something about it makes me feel good. And I think it's because I got to dance. As I was talking to L.J. Reynolds from the Dramatics, he shared that that song was written by someone it was really a very sad day for him, and it is a true story. And he didn't do too well after that. I'll leave it right there. But, you know, a lot of our emotions come through our music that we're writing, and because music gives you an avenue to work on and to you know, I'm watching my screen go crazy here. I have to figure out what's going on there, but it gives you an avenue to do and express and make things happen lyrically, because it tells you it's actually the vibe of the music. And it may be hard for some of you to understand this, but the vibe of the music is dictating the story of the song. And so it's a connection between the lyricist and the the music. And so I think I want to just keep it right here in the Love Zone. Is that okay with you guys? Let's keep it here on Solar Records Radio.
To the old and to the new, we rededicate this song to you.
Maybe I shouldn't worry, but I've been through this before, and I'd like to get things straight.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're talking about a lovely day, a lovely, lovely day. Woo, what a beautiful song. And I had to go through the Love Zone as I, you guys know how much I love the Love Zone. Love songs are just amazing to me. And I love the vibe that they put us in, and it makes me feel so good. And I need to do that show again. I say it all the time because it's just a wonderful vibe. So I'm glad that I got a chance to do it just in that last segment there. And so, hey, guys, it's about another 37 minutes left in the show. Hope you guys are good. Hope my friends who are out tonight, out there overseas, y'all be safe coming home and driving, you know, on the roads and stuff. It's pretty late over there. So please be safe. And to my friends here that are at work listening to the show, thank you for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. We really appreciate you guys. And also, I want to give a shout out to Jason. Oh, Jason, my brother. Now, Jason and I got together this weekend, and Jason is, you know, a very good friend. He is an actual relative, and he, decided he was going to go swimming. And Jason is he's a very special character. If you guys are on Facebook, you will see the pictures of us putting Jason in the pool and hanging out with him and loving on him and just being a blessing to him. And to see him in the pool, man, oh, man, that just blesses my heart. And Jason had such a great time. So, Jason, I love you, man, and I just want to send a big shout out to you, and I look forward to us getting together again on Thanksgiving, right? Oh, Jason, yeah. And we're going to have a good time with the lobster. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm very sensitive to creatures, killing creatures. And so I just thought, as soon as I said lobsters, I thought about when I went to Red Lobster and they were getting ready to make someone a plate with lobsters on it. And then I heard the lobster scream, and I turned around and left the restaurant. I couldn't take it. So I don't know what's happening to me. I'm getting closer and closer to these creatures living on the farm. And now I'm getting to the point where I don't want to eat chicken anymore because of my chickens. And so it's just kind of a weird dynamic. I don't know what's happening, but it's happening for whatever reason, and I'm becoming sensitive to it. So, but anyway, Jason, look forward to hanging out with you, man. We're going to have a great time and stuff. Have the family over, your mom and dad, and, you know, and your auntie, of course, Auntie Cheryl and Uncle Joe. They are just amazing. I had a great time with your dad and your mom, too. That was real cool. So can't wait to see you again, buddy, and hang out, and we do what we do. I know you are a Cowboys fan, and that's all good, but you know I'm an Eagles fan, right? And that's not all good. That's not all good as far as you're concerned. But, man, the Eagles fly high, my brother. So you got to, you know, I'm going to see if I can convert you. He's like, no, I can hear you screaming now, Jason. No, no. All right, guys, it's Throwback Thursday, and we're going to keep it mixed up here. And thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks again, Phoenix, for, great conversation earlier part of the show. That was awesome. And so I'm going to do a Motown mix. So kick back, relax. It's just going to be Motown, and Motown.
Today, the story we've been waiting for, the story of the record company that has put Detroit on the map all over the world.
I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake 'em down.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
so good. It's so good. And I'm so grateful. Thanks to you guys for tuning in to Soul Art Records Radio. I just want to give a shout out to all of my friends around the world, but mainly Jason, because Jason's been waiting for someone to come to his hospital bed and set him up and make it so that he could, you know, be able to communicate, hear the show and be a part of the show. So Jason, we love you here at Soul Art Records Radio. Thank you, my brother. God be with you. And we're just praying for you to hurry up and get into your new place. I'm so excited. And also, Jason, so that we could get together and celebrate Thanksgiving. Huh? We can do that, right? We're going to do that. We're going to get together and do Thanksgiving. So, good boy, Wardell Potts Jr. for Soul Art Records Radio. And we love you, man. All right, guys. So we want to thank y'all for tuning in today. We had a fun time, and I hope you did too. And so we're just going to go out.
Leaving already?
Oh, where are you? You here?
I mean, I've been here, man. I've been here. You went on a 6-song block this last time, man. What the deal?
Oh my! Hey guys, it's Don Fleming's in the house.
I am in the house. Hello, everyone. No. I just enjoyed the show. Just got in and wanted to just say hello to everyone. And man, you're doing a great job, man. Doing a great job. Switched it up a little bit today. I like it. I like it.
Oh yeah, that was it's been fun, man. We had a great time, and I enjoyed our conversation earlier with Phoenix, and then I got the chance to do the love zone, man. Get into those love songs that I love so much, and the vibe that they create. So yes, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Don Fleming, man, that's my buddy right there, guys. So Don's coming on tonight. Don, your show's coming up in a couple of hours, right? Why don't you tell the listeners about your show?
Well, yes, of course. Tune in tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Throwback Thursday night with yours truly. Hopefully we can get Wardell on and hang out with us for 2 hours of great music, if I do say so myself. So, and if you guys can't check me out, if you guys don't get a chance to check it out live, just go to Soul Art Records Radio on the Facebook page and check out the playback, and let me know what you think. I'd appreciate all of you guys' input. It's all good because, man, you never know. I don't want to let the cat out the bag, but I feel like we have some big moves coming in the future. So I'm really excited, and I'm gearing towards that and doing everything in my power to try to make that happen. So.
Yes, and you're doing a great job, man, and we're so grateful for you, my brother. Absolutely. Goldie Mac, and hey, I want everyone to remember this is the month where we, remember breast cancer. So the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, October.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's very important. I have very close friends that have been there, and made it to the other side where they were blessed because of early detection. So I just encourage you young ladies to not wait until something's wrong. Just be proactive and not reactive. You know, get out there, and get your examinations. And because I have a friend just recently, and y'all know her, Astrid, and she found out she was just doing a regular checkup. And all of a sudden, bam, they said something's going on. We got to check it out. And before you know, she had breast cancer. And so, but because she found out so early in the game, she was able to get rid of it and be blessed. And so that's why we encourage you guys all to early detection is the key. And if it runs in your family, you really need to be making sure you are, doing what you have to do and be proactive, okay? Don't be lazy about this because, we love you and we don't want you to lose out on your life because, you decided to be lazy about it. And I don't want to sound cold about it. I just care and I want you to be okay. We want you to be okay. We need you to be okay because you are here for a reason. And so we want you to live that out, whatever God has made you for. You're here for a reason, as we all are. So, and then Don, tell me, would you tell them a little bit about tonight? What's going on? Your show?
Oh, yeah. Again, 2 hours of great classic R&B, funk, and soul, 70s, 80s, and 90s. I might hook up a couple of 2000s up-to-date songs. You never know. And also tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to hang out Goldie Mac. Of course, Goldie Mac's Cosmic Slap Shack is coming up tonight again, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you guys tune in. And again, support the show. Support every show. Support every show we got. You know, support, you know, myself, Waddell, Goldie Mac, T-Meyer, everyone. So definitely keep us, you know, keep us in your prayers as far as, you know, the success of the show and things like that, because we're looking to do big things.
Absolutely. And so Don, you want to close the show out today with the music, and I just say a couple of things before that?
Yeah, you know what? We got about another 9 minutes left. Again, I want to thank you guys for tuning in and hanging out the first hour along with Phoenix and Wardell, and then, of course, the second hour or the last half an hour, because I've been, because he went on that 5-6 music block. But anyway, but no, get a chance to hang out with him. But hopefully you can call tonight and hang out with me on Throwback Thursday night. So you never know, man. I might have try to get my baby sister on, and I might have my wife on. So we might have a family affair, I guess. A little family affair.
Oh, yeah.
A family affair.
That
sounds good. Anyway, I want to close out. again, we got a few more minutes left, but I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and make sure you support the show. Make sure you support SolarRecordsRadio.com. You can go to there. You can also go to WardellPottsJr.com. And also, if you want to donate to the show, you can go. We have a Cash App, $ Solar Records Radio, all one big word put together. So going to close out 1984 classic, an underground group by the name of Network. Of course, this is called Cover Girls, Don Fleming, Wardell Potts. I'll see you guys tonight. Yes.
See you later, buddy.
Yes.
All right, man. God bless, Don.
My lover, I'm a girl. Don't find me. know.